You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
My guest tonight is an actor and adventure enthusiast who has a new limited docuseries called Orlando Bloom to the Edge. Please welcome Orlando Bloom!
Hi, everyone. That's a nice warm response. Hi, everyone.
Oh, you got interviewed before. Don't act like you've never had a million people be like, Orlando! Like you haven't been hacked in as long as most of you people have been alive. Okay, so I just saw you jumping out of a plane.
Mm-hmm.
You know you need your face for work, right? Mr. Orlando Bloom, why are you jumping out of planes? With a bat suit on?
With a bat suit on.
Like a wombat. Like a flying squirrel.
A flying squirrel.
You out here jumping out planes like flying squirrels with a parachute. Why, friend?
Well, because I didn't get any takes on me doing, like, a longevity show where I would get to, like, you know, meet people who live long and prosper. I kind of had that idea. It was, like...
Oh.
I was COVID when, like, I felt really the palpable level of fear around me.
Mm.
I don't know about you, but I was like, if I get out of this, I want to do something that shows how people live in such a way that they could survive this, right? But like I said, nobody bit on that, but they said, well, how about we throw you out of a plane? How about we throw you to the bottom of the ocean and up a mountain? So I was like, okay, that works.
So you came up with an idea during the Roni, as we like to call it.
Right.
Where we were in a Panasonic, you know, and you were like, man, I would love to talk to people about just, you know, how do I become, you know, a person who lives to be 100 years old?
Yeah.
And then networks were like, nah, don't nobody care about that. But can't we see you risk your life? Is that what everyone was like?
That's exactly what it was, yeah.
Okay, and so don't you have children? Because if it was me, if I'm Miss Katy Perry, and I got a baby at home, I'm like, sir, if you don't sit down, why?
Oh, God love you. Yeah, she's amazing. We both support each other immensely. But look, obviously, perhaps she didn't know exactly quite the lengths I'd be going to until I kind of came home freaking out, sweating and going like, that was real and a lot. But I think, you know, I hope that, like, for me it was like this was an opportunity to kind of get super capable, super focused, and actually these remarkable athletes that taught me all these incredible things. You see, Luke Aitkins was the guy who taught me to wingsuit, and Camila Jabbar taught me to free dive with Will Troubridge. And then there was this amazing adaptive climber named Mo Beck, who was born with one hand and climbed exactly what I climbed. Like, these are people with an incredible skill set. Mm. And I kind of felt like, well, if I could learn, instead of being this, like, impulsive kid that I kind of always had been, and, like, that was when I got into trouble, you know, like, flying around on my motorcycle thinking I could do anything and then not knowing the protocols or not knowing exactly. It was like an education in becoming super present, super capable, and able to, like, push through what I think was, you know, an edge for me. Now, listen, for other people, their edge is a little different, you know, but it was like, it wouldn't necessarily play on TV in the same way, right?
Well, my edge is being a black woman in America, so...
Well, there you go. You only have to step out the house, right?
Listen, I walk outside and I'm like, man, this is extreme.
This is real.
Lord, I hope I make it back tonight. Black Adelaide, I might meet Jesus far across the street. So you went wingsuited.
Yeah.
Rock climbing.
Correct.
Free diving.
Yeah.
Now, I thought diving didn't cost any money.
It's actually weird.
What is free diving?
It's, so I basically swam to... I ended up at about 102 feet, 37 meters. I guess it's like 1/10 of the Chrysler building or 10 floors. Maybe you can think of it 10 floors. I swam to 10 floors on one breath. And
down and back. So was it 5 down and 5 up, or was it 10 down and 10 up?
10 down and 10 up, yeah.
So it's like 200 feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so is free diving called that because it's free of air? Is that why? Because you don't have like there's no snorkel, there's no scuba, it's just you and...
you and your breath and the great deep beyond.
Wow.
Pretty scary. I mean, it's a weird feeling because you're literally like, you know, I mean, I'm not claustrophobic and I love the ocean, but... there was a lot of technical stuff with, like, you know, equalizing, and I had a mask, and I mean, you know, it was challenging, but we got there, and it was, and I only had like a week to kind of do that. I mean, I learned to hold my breath. I kept doing these techniques. So Camila, who was training me, taught me these breath routines and ways to sort of exhale, hold breath out to build up this CO2, which is what you feel most uncomfortably when you're underwater. Mm. But and then holding your breath for an extended period of time. I mean, it is unnatural. It's not something that, like, I definitely wouldn't recommend it just to kind of go do that. You know, but it was like, I think I got a lot from it.
So you learned a lot from this experience of almost not making it out of these experiences.
Yeah.
What do you felt like you learned in those places where you're at those moments where you're just like, I'm like right on the... Because like, did you reach the... was the edge death? Was that where the edge
I think it's
was?
Close to it. I think I say in the show, I never feel more alive when I'm as close to death. And I think that I had that feeling of, you know, if you're in a really intense moment, a really intense situation, and I had these incredible... teachers, if I follow the protocol, if I just follow what I've learned, if I trust, if I let go, all of those ideas of like be in rhythm, be in like trust the universe, trust this is on my path, trust that like I've learned everything, trust that Luke, who taught me, for example, with the free diving, that I was capable to wingsuit after 25 jumps, which is when I got my A license. So we're not sure anyone really has done it on the 26th jump wingsuiting, because it's a particularly terrifying kind of experience when you don't have a huge amount of experience. But I kind of had, I felt like being present, really present. And maybe that's something that I'll take back. Hopefully that's something that I am taking back to my family, like being more present, more grateful, more like appreciative of life, I guess.
That's amazing. Because the idea of being more present is a thing that's always, I mean, it's, we're here, I'm a present, you're welcome. But I guess the idea, because like,
you're a gift.
Look at God. Thank you so much. And if you have any nice friends that want to meet me, we can talk about that later, Mr. Bloom. But I do wonder, like, was there anything that got you? I guess like being in those moments, it feels like it's probably like a very spiritual experience when you're that close to just.
Yeah. So I definitely when you're that close to death, and I've had this Buddhist practice in my life since I'm 16. So I chant Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, which has been a really wonderful philosophy in my life and something like kind of an anchor for me, really. So I actually, you see me chant a little bit of that, and it's something that I would say helped me to deal with the voices in my head telling me that I was insane. Or that I might die, you know?
That's survival, sir.
Like,
that's your body going, breathe.
Yeah,
please,
yeah, exactly. Breathe, bro. Well, which, by the way, when you're doing that, you are breathing. But I think, you know, in a way, yeah, it was very focusing and grounding, and because you're in, like, these hyper-tense situations. I liked it. It helped. I'll use it again. I use it now.
You're an actor who's been a part of huge franchises.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, the Pirates of the Caribbean, but like this is a docu-series. So there's no, because like I'm also a trained actor. When I started doing stand-up, it scared me. Because
right.
I'd never been on stage and it wasn't me being a character, bringing someone else to life, and they were someone else's words. So how did it feel to be on camera, but you weren't playing someone else, and you were being very true to yourself and presenting yourself
and kind
screen.
Of vulnerable and terrified?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a lot. To be honest, I'd never thought of doing anything like this. You know, I wasn't thinking, I want to do an unscripted show and I want to do some kind of action adventure thing. It wasn't in my thinking. It just was something that became part of my journey, which I'm grateful for. But it was like definitely I had a certain amount of like, am I going to say something really silly all the time or just part of the time? And am I going to sound like I know anything about anything, you know? So that was also, I think, a massive, I'm grateful for that question. It was a massive part of the equation because whilst doing these insane things was insane and challenging, like overcoming some of the things in my mind that prevented me from even thinking anything I had to say was going to work for an unscripted show. Because as you point out so rightly, I've worked on some great characters and great writers. And when you have a dialogue, you know, from a character that's been written out, it's there's choices that you make. But when you're just riffing, it's like, as you know, like you can't really, you know, wait, is that going to work? Am I going to say anything interesting? So it was, that was another element to it that I kind of had to sort of learn to embrace.
Well, that's amazing. I'm so excited for you for this project.
Thanks. I hope you like it.
I will love it. I would love to watch you.
I'm glad you came.
I love
you guys like it.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
My guest tonight is a country singer-songwriter whose debut album is called My Stupid Life. Please welcome Brittany Spencer! Titties.
Hello.
Hello. You had yours, so I asked them if mine could be out a little bit too. They were like, okay, we got to keep it like TV host.
Yeah.
But I was like, I want mine out a little bit too.
I mean, tits make you feel powerful.
Make you feel powerful. Yeah. It's like, hello, good morning. but one, I wanted you to know, so then when they asked me when I was like, got my hosting week, and they're like, who do you want to come? I was like, oh, Brittany Spencer, you're on the top of my list. And I'm so glad you came because I didn't know you could come, so I'm so glad you
Thank
came.
You.
I asked them for you.
Really?
Because I follow you on Instagram. And I was
I
like,
follow you too.
Oh, thank you so much. Follow back. I was so excited you're here. So your debut album, My Stupid Life, came out earlier this year. What do you want to tell people about your album? Like, you as an artist, mm-hmm. and what inspired you? Like, tell them everything so they can buy it. You put it on the top of the Billboard charts. We get you a Grammys and stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first, thank you so much for having me. This is
of course.
Fun. This is my first time on, like, nighttime television, like, just, like, talking and stuff. So, nighttime television yet, so this is like my first one, and honestly, this is cool. That's My Stupid Life, you know? I think with this album, I want people to know that I love music. I love country music. It taught me how to tell a story. It taught me how to connect with my own story. And this album it's a sonic spectrum, you know? I love country music, and I also love pop, and I love rock, and I love R&B, and I love I wish good was a genre sometimes, you know? I like to thread a lot of things together, but it's all kind of held together by how I interpret country music and the storytelling tradition that it is.
So, as we are both black women, mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone noticed. it can kind of feel scary or unsafe a lot of times to open up and let people in. So how did you overcome that when you were writing the songs for this album?
The same way I'm still trying to learn how to overcome it, I guess. I just try to be honest, you know, and I try to... Anything that I do, I try to make it feel like an invitation, you know, for other people, you know? I feel like I make music for people who felt unseen, you know, or feel unseen, or feel like they just feel like they're the only ones sometimes. And so that's kind of where my storytelling comes from and how I write songs. And being a black woman in country music, I mean, honestly, like, I'm so happy to be black. I'm so happy to be a woman. I'm so happy to be in country music. And, like, it makes my experience as an artist... Thank you. All of these things make my experience as a country artist way more fun, I think. Like, I have a great time. Like, being part of this moment in country music where people are just exploring and, like, we're bringing more than our complexion. We're bringing our culture. And so we're, like, that's why we're fusing a lot of things together. I just think it's fun and it's more explorative, and I think there's a lot of creativity and innovation in that. And I don't know, it's just stepping into this, knowing country music historically has kind of left us out for, like, you know, 100-plus years. Mm-hmm. There's not really any expectation on what we should look or sound like, I guess, sometimes it feels like, because, you know, it's like, it's something about being, like, the underdog, it feels like. You get to kind of have a little more fun. That's what it feels like for me sometimes. Of course, I feel the struggle of it sometimes, but mostly I'm just kind of focused on, like, how I don't have to live up to a status quo because no one ever really gave me one because they didn't think I would be here.
Right.
So, like, you get to do fun things.
Yes! It's, like, I feel like that sometimes, like, as a performer, as in a comic, and people ask me, like, you know, what it's like to be a woman in stand-up and a woman in entertainment, and kind of like, it's like when people don't have expectations of you, mm-hmm. they get to be surprised by everything you do, mm-hmm. which is like, well, all of this is great. Like, well, you didn't think I could do half of this, so when I'm doing all of it, it's like, damn, she good.
Yeah, you are.
Like, thank you, and you too. Because you, like, I think the other thing that's surprising to people is, like, I grew up in Georgia, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up in the South, so we always heard country music.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem, and it wasn't something that's crazy to us. We always saw black people in country music, mm-hmm. but not everybody saw black people in country music. And you describe your music as universal country. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
It means I just want to have a little something for everybody, you know? Yeah. I think that's why my album is the way it is. There's not one single song that sounds like another. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like it that way. That's kind of how I listen to music. You know, I feel like there's so many country artists before me that have kind of accomplished that, whether you talk about it like a Dolly or a Shania. Like, I think that's really cool, having something that everybody can kind of connect with. And your discography, I think that's really cool. And that's what I want to do. I want to have fun, you know? I love country music. I'm also black. I'm from Baltimore. You know, my grandparents are from the South, but my family moved to Baltimore. And that's a really eclectic mix anyway. You know, it's the home of Hairspray, right. Billie Holiday, and Toni Braxton. That's an eclectic mix, you know? And The Wire. So, like, that's just a lot of things.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. I'm a reflection of that. And so I know I'm not the only one. And when I meet people who are kind of like me and they just like music, mm-hmm. oftentimes they're like, yo, I listen to this genre and that genre. And they have a playlist and it's about 10 different genres on it. And I'm like, that's how I hear music too. And all those artists probably all like each other and listen to each other anyway. So I think, I don't know, I think we cage people into a little too much sometimes. But I don't want to be.
No, you don't want to be, because listen, if you do like a lot of different types of stuff, then when the Grammy showed up, you could be like, well, you can't just put me in one category.
Yeah.
And then I'm at the CMAs, and then I'm at the Latin Grammys, and then I'm with a K-pop band, and then it's just like, and then we're doing punk, so I'm all over the world getting awards. Now, I know we cannot talk to you without mentioning the fact that you were on Beyoncé's cover of Blackbird.
Yeah. That was fun. That was
because
really
I didn't want to get to know you, but I know everybody was in here like, ask about Beyoncé. I'm like, hey.
I mean, I would too. I'd be like,
I understand.
This is cute.
Yes.
Also,
this is amazing. But like, I just want to go. Did Britney? Do what Britney did. But then also, girl, tell me about Beyoncé. So it's like I have to, because by law I have to ask you about Beyoncé. It's a. I'm so sorry. It's a law that's been passed recently. I can't.
You don't make the rules.
I don't make the rules.
I get
this
it.
Is Black Twitter laws. This has nothing to do with me. So, like, how did she find you? I mean, I know I found you, but I mean, I listen to different types of music, but, like, how did she find you? Did she call you? Did she think it was a prank call? You're like, oh, tell your cousin, get off my phone. So, like, how did she find you?
I have no idea.
Go.
I have no idea. Like, I'm not just saying it. I literally don't know. I have so many questions. I already had questions in my head because, like, Beyoncé's like a big sister in my head, and I'd be asking her questions sometimes. But, like, now I actually really have questions. Like, I don't. Actually, no. And I think that's so cool, though. I'm just happy to be on the record. It's a beautiful record. Like, even if I wasn't on it, like, I would just be mad into it. This is a no skips, like, start to finish. Like, if it had been 20 more songs, I would listen to the whole thing over and over again. And I don't know. I just, it's a fun time, like, to be able to be a part of that record and to, I don't know, be here talking to y'all and being able to sing a song that I love. The Beatles is my second favorite band of all time, you know? Yeah. And so this is really cool. It's fun. And it's, I still wake up and I'm like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
I'm like hearing bees. I'm like, oh, that's the Beehive is like following me right now. I like it.
They dropping locations. They're the
cute
ones that come for everybody. But when they love you, they love you.
They show so much love. They show so much love. And I mean, I think that's just a reflection of her because she does the same.
Well, I do want to ask you one last question. What was the first country album that made you realize that you wanted to get into country music?
Oh, the first one.
What was the time where you're just like, I could do this?
Yeah, I remember when I first got introduced to country music, I was like 14 or 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And I became a fan of it. I dived in. Like, I listened to the chicks, and I was like, oh, snap. Like, what is happening? And I, like, went on this whole journey of just listening to country music. And I feel like I can't remember exactly which album it was. I'm always annoyed at myself for not remembering that, but it sent me on a rabbit hole. I would say the artist that made me feel like I could do it was Taylor Swift. It was something about her that made me feel like maybe I don't have to just be a fan. Maybe I can actually do this. She's poetic. She's from Pennsylvania. I'm from Maryland. And so it was something about like not having a twang and being able to like fuse poetry and storytelling and also just being young and like vulnerable. It was something about that made me feel like maybe I don't have to just kind of be on the sidelines. Maybe I want to sing. I've always wanted to sing. And maybe this has given me a little direction.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here. Now, hold on. Now, before we go, I want to give my good sis some of her flowers. Now, you're on tour with Willie Nelson and Bob Dylan this summer.
Yes. Excited.
Now,
that's wild.
She has opened for Reba McEntire. And I don't know if y'all know, but black people love Reba McEntire.
We do, because of the show, yo.
Listen, one, because of the show, two, because she's literally just a white Mary J. Blige. I don't know if y'all knew that. Listen, Fancy and most of Mary J.'s songs, it's the same thing. She's just trying to help her kids. She's trying to be a good person. She's trying to raise her own.
Not to mention the commercials.
Listen, we love Reba. Dolly has introduced you at her show.
Yeah.
And then Maren Morris, on her record, she has you as a background vocalist, and you've collaborated with her on many occasions.
Yeah, I've sang with Maren quite a bit. I tour with her. She's amazing. Like, we met on Twitter. Like, I posted a cover of a song called Crowded Table that's in a band that she's in called The High Women.
Yes.
And I met them online, and then a year later, I was singing with them in front of 50,000 people. That's kind of wild.
Look at Jesus.
That's wild, man. I've been really fortunate to to collab with a lot of incredible artists who are really kind and generous. And I just, I don't know, I want to be like that too.
Sis.
Thank you.
People don't just pick up folks for fun.
Oh, I know. I don't take it for granted. That's really cool. And I just, I don't know, I want to keep singing and you know, and one day if I'll be in that position and I get to extend that same, like, that same generosity and just invitation to be a part of something that I'm doing. So I'm excited. They've shown me a lot of what I aspire to do and be when I get to that point in my career.
I'm so happy that you came. And I want to come to one of your shows. Please invite me.
Please. You are always invited.
Yes, and I'm bringing a bunch of people with me. A bunch of black people with me. Yes.
Yes. Turn it up.
Give it up for Brittany Spencer, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Of course. I hope you stand up.
Girl, I know you're good. Yes. Stand up for my friend. Love.
Thank you.
My Stupid Life is available now. And for tour dates, check out BrittanySpencer.com.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.